Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages. I am your host with the most to welcome you to yet another edition of the F World Headquarters. Well, it's actually Talking Tuesday, live from the F World Headquarters. I am your host with the most, the F4L icon and leader, Sean Jazz Stevens, here to welcome you yet another Tuesday. And we have a great show to you guys tonight. And tonight, as if you haven't seen all of the propaganda, as I showed, all of the advertisements and so forth, tonight we're going to be discussing pop culture conventions, a little bit of a Q&A, sort of, things that, or I guess you'd say frequently asked questions, I guess. And I have our good friend Tim, who joined us a couple weeks ago, who goes to quite a few conventions himself. He's going to be joining me in just a few to add his partake of some things. And we're going to kind of put our heads together and give you guys some helpful hints. The cool thing about the two things to keep in mind is both Tim and I are both family guys. And we do these things, well, Tim probably goes to a few more than I do. I honestly have a lot of work and stuff like that. Usually I get to go to maybe one, maybe two a year, if I'm lucky. If I'd like to go to more, trust me, I hope to go to more as time goes on, now that I'm working, more creatively and stuff like that, and taking a few more things like that on that end of things. But yeah, tonight we're going to do a little bit of a kind of a smorgasbord of all things pop culture. Like I said, our good friend Tim is going to be calling in about 5 minutes or so, before now. And he's going to be, we're going to be discussing the various different conventions. I haven't been to a sci-fi convention, which Tim, as you heard last time, had been. So we're going to kind of compare notes to the various different types of things. And whatnot. We'll maybe go, and then we'll go over maybe the various different types of conventions, because there are conventions for pretty much everything. When you're talking about pop culture, there's things, everything from comic books, which is kind of how the whole Comic-Con kind of thing started, and they go all the way down to, there's all kinds of conventions, horror conventions, sci-fi conventions, wrestling conventions, book conventions, tattoo conventions, car conventions. There are conventions literally for everything that you could probably think of. And nowadays, they even have like fan-supported ones, which are supported by individuals that have a cult following, things like a Walker Stalker or a Stranger Things type of convention. I think they call those StrangeCon or something. So like the very popular shows have their own conventions. I think I've heard of things like they had a Once Upon a Time convention. In the last couple of years, I've even seen a Brady Bunch convention, a reunion. And, there's all kinds of various different conventions. There's something out there for everybody. And I think what's important you should know is, one, know what you're kind of getting into. Know what you kind of like as a family or as an individual. And one thing I think both me and Tim are going to go over, I'm sure, is the fact that the more you go to these things, the more you learn, you add a little bit more to your resume and knowledge to how these things work and operate, so they're smoother and they're easier to transition into and stuff like that. As far as you learn kind of a time period, who to get when it comes to a guest, knowing that you have to wait in line. Sometimes you have to choose between two people that you really want to meet, but you can only get one or the other. How do you make that decision? And we're going to go over a lot of that. I don't know exactly how long Tim's got for this, because Tim is a busy man, rightfully so, as we all are. So we don't want to tie him up too much, because we want to make sure he gets some sleep. But he's going to join us for the most part and help us out with helping you guys out, learning what it's like. Maybe you've been to a convention before. If you kind of want some helpful tips, how to save money or which other conventions are out there and things of that nature. I think Tim is a great guy to bring on board because of the experiences. You heard him a couple of weeks ago. He's been to many different types of conventions. And because he's been to that many, and I've also been to quite a few myself, you know, we bring kind of the experience factor to it. And like I said before, Tim and I are also people who travel for such things. And, you know, as people who have families, wife, kids and such, we also know we have to budget and plan. And, you know, hopefully he can go over kind of what he does. And I'll also share what I do as well. Because it doesn't really matter how many people you have in your family or your kind of group necessarily. What kind of matters is what to do. And that's kind of how that works, huh? So, yeah, and that is kind of the case, huh? oh, we got Tim coming in right now, actually, hopefully.
That is correct. I am here, sir.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear. How about
me?
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you good. Do you hear me at all?
I can hear you.
Okay, great.
Everything's good on my end. Excellent. Hi, Tim. We were just talking about you. Good things, though. Good things.
Well,
I was just telling people
that's good.
How you're going to be coming in.
That's first time for everything.
I know, right? I always talk good about you. You know that. Anyway. What I thought was, as I mentioned to you a couple of days ago, what I thought about doing is doing kind of like a scenario for people. Some people who have maybe never been to a convention, or maybe people who have been but kind of need some helpful tips or things for people who are kind of new to kind of prepare them. And as I was saying, that you and I are both family guys too, and maybe we can go over a little bit about how we prepare ourselves and our families for such things. And also, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, you've been to a few more conventions than I have, so you bring a lot more. you've been a lot more of them than I have. So, I thought we could pass some notes to help some people out. What do you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'd be happy to. You know,
excellent.
Planning and stuff like that is important to a convention, so that way you know you're ready to go and you'll have a great time. Yeah, you know, poor planning
or
thinking you're going to be able to do the. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Can you tell people how you prepare, like you and Cam and whatever else? How do you prepare? Now, actually, how about this for fun? Do you do anything differently now that you have a family versus before? Because you were doing conventions before you met your wife, right?
Yeah. I was doing conventions when I was a teenager, probably when I was like 13 or 14 I started going. So, but they were easy cons. They were local cons in Boston. So I went to those shows.
Mm-hmm.
They were day trips. I'd go in and then go home. So it's not like the some of the stuff we do now when we're driving to New Jersey or Maryland or Virginia.
Sure.
You know,
right.
You know, some people flying out to Texas.
Now, can you compare how you prepare?
Well, with my wife and my son, it's a lot of trying to anticipate the things you're going to need when you're down there, you know, making sure you got enough clothes packed, you know. You don't want to overdo things, like overpack things like toys and stuff like that when you got a kid, because you're going to get stuff there for them, you know. There's always going to be something you're going to find at the shows that they're going to want to have. So you want to make sure you bring some stuff with them, but not overload it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want the whole hotel room to be one gigantic toy, you know.
Yeah, you know it. Not to mention, they don't really, at a convention like that, normally they don't have a lot of time to really play with them for the most part anyway, right?
Exactly, because they're going to be downstairs a lot, running around with you, meeting friends, meeting celebrities, just hanging out down in the lobbies because, you know, it's fun.
Sure. Now, when you go to, you know, pick a convention or whatever, how do you prepare for your conventions?
Well,
I mean,
you know,
I like how you pack and stuff like that. What's the day look like for you? Like, let's say you're going to scan the care, you said, right?
Yeah.
Now, how are you preparing for that one?
Well, like I said, you know, it's a long trip because like I said, we're coming from Massachusetts. It's going to Virginia. It can be a 10 to 12 hour drive depending on, you know, how well you do. So we kind of break it up. I'm going to be doing the driving. My wife and son are going to fly down to this airport right outside of Richmond. It's about 45 minutes from where we're staying. So this is so you don't spend, because, you know, the thing is that a lot of people understand, you know, it's conventions are expensive, man. They cost a lot of money.
Sure.
Hotel, food, you know, if you're a drinker, you're going to be spending money on booze, particularly if you're hitting the bar at the hotel. So, I mean, a lot of things. I think the biggest mistake that people make at cons is that they underestimate how much it actually is going to cost.
Right. That's something I also wanted to touch on, because I think a lot of people have this belief, or sometimes they're kind of taken back somehow about how much money you kind of need to pull off a convention.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about it. I mean, you got to talk about a minimum of $500 for the hotel. If you're staying in the host where the con's being held, if they're hosting in a hotel, you're looking at, you know, almost $500 for the hotel. That's at a reduced rate. That most cons get reduced rates. You know, the hotel costs, and people are like, oh, that's a lot of money. The hotel probably costs considerably more, you know, because they're usually really fancy hotels. They're not like Super 8s, you know, they're not Motel 6s.
Right, exactly.
These are like Double Tree Inns, these are Hiltons, these are, you know, Crown Plazas. You know, these are like 200 plus a night type hotels. So that's the biggest thing. You got to have that budget and figure it out, you know, well in advance. You know, you got to know what is everything going to cost you, you know, because you don't want to show up and realize you just spent all your money on the hotel room.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I know that one. Now, all too well.
You know.
Now, were you? So it's easy when you guys are going your 3 years, right?
Yeah. I mean, when I was just before the kid. I mean, you know, it's a lot easier. You know, we can. You know, doesn't cost as much. You don't take up as much room. You know, it's easy. It's a lot easier. I mean, it's not as much fun because, my God, my son brought a level to the convention experience that I didn't understand.
His wide-eyed
approach to everything is amazing because he had so much fun at these shows.
Sure.
You know, so that's an important factor
into
it. Sure. Yeah, exactly. I want to help the next generation.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
I remember when I started going back to conventions again in the early 2000s, they were everywhere. I mean, you literally could probably, if you had the money and the funds, you could literally go 12 months a year going to a con every month. Because they were all over the place. East Coast alone had about, I don't know, at least 8 or 9 top-notch shows that were going on. You had our personal favorite, Monster Mania. You had Horrifying. Right. You had Genghis Khan. You had Chiller. Well, you still have Chiller. Chiller. You had Star Trek fans. You had Shore Leave. I mean, like I said, the list goes on and on and on and on. The various Comic-Cons, all the cities have. You know, so the convention world has shrunk quite a bit in the last, I'd say, 15 years. You don't have nearly as many shows. I mean, you know, I know off the top of my head, only 3 shows left that I know that are frequent on the East Coast. I know Scares, which is a relatively new show. They've only been around for about 5 years. And then you got Monster Mania, which has been around for, I don't know, at least 12, 13 years now, at least. And, of course, Chiller Theater, which is even older, which is probably over 20, 25 years old. So I mean, they've been around a long. So these guys are the marathon runners. That's why they're still in it.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that were poorly run. The ones that I would classify the party cons, the party conventions where people went there just to get obliterated. And it really had nothing to do with the show. They went there to get obliterated. They got chased out of their hotels because they weren't taking care of them. You know, the smart ones, like I said, you know, they understood. You know, we don't want to piss off the hotel because otherwise, hey, guess what? We don't get to go to have a show here anymore. That's what happened to one of my favorite shows, Horrifying. They got chased out of their Hunt Valley location. They tried to set up in Gettysburg, but they just couldn't make it work because it was too much money down there, especially for the time of year they were doing it. So.
Now, obviously, it's obviously easier to get to ones around here. But sadly, as I am, you know, Rock and Shock just announced, you know, it's funny, they just announced it before even 2020 hit that they were not going to be coming back, which is a little sad because it's our closest con we have for us as far as horror goes, to my knowledge.
Yep.
And then, you know, in all honesty, it was a good convention. I really enjoyed Rock and Shock.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, you know what's sad about my take is I haven't been in doing them as long as you have, which I'm a little I'm happy that I'm doing them now, and I'm grateful that I'm doing them now because for me, who's, you know, I've been around a lot of these things. One of the things about me is goes back to my wrestling training. Really, you're kind of taught to kind of not like freak out when you meet other fellow wrestlers in the locker room, right? But me, personally, I was also taught respect, about giving respect to the people who have paved the way for me to do what I'm doing. So when I found out about these events, that I can actually go and talk to these people, I was like, oh, my goodness, this is amazing. You know, I get to, you know, pay tribute to these people, right? But what I didn't know, like, I didn't know there was so many conventions out there. And I think I told you the last time, the way I actually accidentally found out about conventions, I actually saw a live stream from San Diego Comic-Con. And I'm like, wow, this is kind of – they had a panel. I don't even know what the panel was. But I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. It was like a little Q&A panel. I think the Family Guy was doing like a live thing from San Diego Comic-Con. I'm like, wow, this is kind of different. And, of course, I Google it. And, of course, thankfully Google existed when I started going. Because I found, you know, New York Comic Con was my first convention. Plus, as you can hear that, you know kind of what I fell into my first convention.
Only the largest con on the East Coast.
It is, and I didn't know that at that time. And, you know, one of the things I kind of did to prepare for today, I kind of made a note to point out to people, there are kind of two different kind of conventions, right? You got the big, huge hall kind of conventions like the Comic Cons and so forth, like we talked about. Like, I mean, Rock and Shock was at the DCU Center, and then you have you know, New York Comic Con, Boston Comic Con, San Diego. To my knowledge, is the mecca of all that, as far as that goes.
Absolutely,
maybe one bigger.
In the world. There's no one bigger than San Diego.
Someday I keep
absolutely nobody.
But
I think one of the I know Europe had a really big con. I think it was called Volcon, but I would think it was in England. But I'm not really sure. I know that they have like smaller key shows, but they're not really horror based like a lot of the shows we go to. They're more sci-fi.
Right.
They're like, you know, like Volcon was a Star Trek show, you know, stuff like that.
And that was the other thing. Sure. The other thing about these conventions is I was also pointing out to people as in the intro, there are so many different kind of conventions out there. They're really a convention for pretty much any fan base. And because I've never been to like a Star Trek convention, how would you compare a Star Trek convention compared to like, say, a horror convention? How far off are they and how, you know what I mean?
They're certainly not as diversified. I mean, horror conventions, they cover a really – I mean, people think horror convention. Oh, they're just – they think horror is a small, narrow field, and it's not. We both know that. I mean, there's so many subgenres.
Absolutely.
There's so many – different fan bases, you know, like, and we can all come together. Star Trek, it's like the closest thing I would say, if you had a Star Trek Star Wars con, that just couldn't, they couldn't coexist because the two fan bases can't stand each other. You know, they're constantly in competition, and we don't have that. You know, but the thing about if you go to a Star Trek convention, you're going to a just a Star Trek convention. Everything's about Star Trek, and you know, it, you know, like so when I was a kid, that was all we had. We had Star, these cons were Doctor Who, the original Doctor Who, and Star Trek, and that was it. It's kind of cool because I got to meet, you know, the original cast of Star Trek because this was before that show Next Generation had come out. So the only people involved with Star Trek they could get were either people who were in the movies or the original cast from the show. And they usually went with the original cast, which was kind of cool because you get to meet them all. And it's like, wow, this is awesome. Doctor Who was a little bit more diverse because they had much more. They had a much – they've been around for like over, you know, 10, 15 years when I went to see them. I mean, they started in the early 60s. We're talking mid-80s now, and the show was still on, so we're talking almost 20 years the show had been going on when I was seeing these Doctor Who shows. So, but like I said, the thing was about them was that you have to understand is that they're sci-fi, and that's all they talked about was sci-fi, and most of it was dominated mostly by Star Trek, because Star Trek, of course, was the bigger of the two. Star Trek had the Hollywood movies that were coming out at that time. You know, I mean, I went there starting around probably when Star Trek II Wrath of Khan came out. That's when I kind of started going, right around when that film came out. And the last shows I did was right around they had just did the first season of Star Trek Next Generation. And that's when I stopped going because I just didn't like the people. They were just so... It's like, you know, they had no tolerance for anybody else who didn't think, you know, if Star Trek wasn't king, you didn't belong there. If you weren't, you know, you weren't wearing the uniforms, you didn't belong there, that kind of garbage, you know. And you don't have that at the Horrorcons. Horrorcons are much more accepting. You know, we get along better. You know, the Freddy Krueger fans get along great with the Jason fans. They compliment
and the Michael Myers
cosplay.
Fans get along with everyone, too.
Yeah. You know, the Leatherface fans are all enjoying themselves, you know. So it's just not the same. I can't really discuss. And I think personally, I think that's the problem with sci-fi in general. Just they just don't like to coexist. They've tried. I remember when Patrick Stewart and Mark Hamill were doing a series of commercials and people still couldn't get arguing about who was the better, Mark Hamill or Patrick Stewart. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes, they're from two completely different universes. How the heck can you compare the two of them, you know?
Right. And why do we have to compare them? I can't like them both. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, they're just, like, you know, Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, or the Comic-Cons in general, is the closest you're going to find to like a multi-tiered sci-fi event where there's all sorts of sci-fi stuff going on at it, you know, and that just pisses off the comic book fans because the comic book fans think it's their convention and there shouldn't be anything else but selling. There should be nobody there that's not involved in comic books. So, like I said, it's a ridiculous level of just not being able to coexist. Where it's just like, you know what, go to a Chiller Con, go to a Monster Mania and you'll see a difference. I mean, go to Chiller, heck, you may run in. I remember the year Chiller went and got the kids from Willy Wonka also appearing with five different Jasons. I'm like, you know what, man, you wouldn't get that. You know, anywhere else, but
that's
a Chiller Con.
Incredible, You know, that's the one convention I always say every year. Oh, you know what? I got to go to this convention. That convention particularly, because they always pull up these names of people like, you know, how are they still around? You know what I mean? I'm like, I haven't heard that in like 10 years. Oh, my goodness, you know? And I every year say I have to go. I never have been yet. But someday I'm going to go down there.
It's not a bad show. It's not a bad show as long as you don't. Like I said, I've been there. I went to one Chiller, had the best dealer's room I ever saw. I mean, I've never seen a dealer's room as cool as theirs. And like I said about Chilla, take my hat off to, no one ever got Leslie Nielsen from Police Squad. You know, he's the no one ever got him at anything. I'm like, that Chilla was the only show I ever heard of. They ever got him on the East Coast. So, I mean, and, right. You know, just they were known for getting those guys. You're like, oh, wow, he's still alive? Oh, yeah, I want to go see him. You
That's
know?
What I say. That's
They're the
what
ones who
get
a Michael Martin Landau
say.
Or something.
Right.
Yeah, it's like you look at they got a Martin Landau.
Yeah,
they get that, you know?
And it's also random over there, too. It's like when you hear the name Chiller Convention, I automatically think it's going to be a horror convention. But when you look at the guest list,
yeah.
What a diverse guest list it is. It's all over the place. You'll have people with them, you know, they're having a MASH reunion. They're going to have Kid and Play this year. I mean, I thought one of the people from Kid and Play died like 10 years ago. I mean,
yeah,
I haven't heard these
it's
people
amazing.
In years, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know,
well, it's like, it's,
what's cool about these shows is that, yeah, go ahead.
I think the thing is that, and another thing I would suggest to fans that want to go is that you got to understand that horror conventions are evolving. You know, you can only go and see Kane Hodder so many times and Bill Moseley and Derek Mears.
Yeah.
They go to all the shows.
Right.
If they're not working,
right.
They're at a convention, you know? So
yeah.
It's
right.
Kind of like, you know, you need to understand that they are going to evolve. So, yeah, you're going to get wrestlers. Yeah, you're going to get Meatloaf the singer. You're going to get Dolph Lundgren, who, to my knowledge, has never really – I mean, he has to have been in some kind of low-budget horror film or some kind of thing. But,
yeah.
You know, he's an action guy. He's
cool.
Known for horror.
Right.
You know, it's like
yeah,
they got Peter Mayhew and Kerry Fisher. You got to allow
right.
That kind of evolution. You know, they have to evolve because otherwise they're not going to survive. They're going to
right.
People
I
are going to stop going because they're going to get bored.
Right, exactly. That's one of the good things about what Hagen over at Monster Mania has done, because every time, well, up until this. Because, I mean, the last 2 years, it's not his fault. It's just everything, because the whole everywhere across the board has been crazy. But up until now,
yeah.
Like, you watch those guest announcements, you're like, how the heck did you do that? You know, I remember a couple of years ago, he had Pee-wee Herman, Elvira.
Yeah.
Tim Curry, who people said never, he'll never come. Well, Dave Hagen said never say
yeah.
Never because he brought him. You know, and
yeah.
Then, like, the Shining Twins. To my knowledge, Dave's the first one to bring them over here to do a convention.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's the thing.
Fun
it's amazing.
About,
you know,
I think I told you that story. Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, I was at that.
Also,
I think I was at that show.
I think you were, too. I saw you there.
Yeah, yeah.
I
have the autographs from the two guys from Godzilla. They're hanging up on my wall, proudly
yep.
Hanging up on my wall. It's
there
like, this is awesome stuff. Those two of my favorite autographs.
Yep. Right.
Even though neither one is in English, I was like, I have no idea what he's saying on the picture. I'm hoping it's something nice,
right.
Not you scumbag Yankee scum die.
Yeah, right.
You know, one of these days,
right.
If I have a friend that can read Japanese, I'm like, so what exactly did he write here? But,
right.
You know, the thing is that I think Dave Hagen, the guy who runs Monster Mania, is really smart. He understands. He followed the Chiller example. Chiller moved away from strict horror guys long before I ever went to one of their shows. I mean, when I went to the
right.
Show I went to, they didn't just have horror guys. They had like guys like John Astin. They had they had wrestlers like Tito Santana was there. You know, Sergeant Slaughter. I met Sergeant Slaughter at that show. I was like, oh, this is great. I love this. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think Dave was just smartly realized, you know what, I can do the same thing and keep my show relevant. And that's what
right.
Success is. You know, that's how you
exactly.
Succeed. That's how I think you succeed in this. So as a fan, if you're going to these shows, you are going to see people, you're going to see celebrities there that you're not expecting. You know, I remember
right.
when Dirk Benedict
right.
was at a Monster Mania and I was thrilled. I'm like, the original Starbucks. Was you know, Face Man from the A-Team was at a Monster Mania. I was so thrilled about it. But
mm-hmm.
I knew people there that were pissed because they're like, he's a sci-fi guy. What the hell is he doing here? I'm like, what he's doing here is keeping the show relevant. if you like coming to the show,
yeah.
You can't
say, why can't he be here?
Eight people.
So what? Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You have to have that.
Look, are you going to get King Hodder's autograph again? You know, he's only gone to 12
right.
of the shows. Are you going to get 12 autographs? Mm-hmm. No. So you're going to get bored with it, you know?
Yeah.
The thing is, like
he
I
does
said,
a good
you know,
job of keeping it fresh.
You know, yeah, exactly, and that's what helps with it. You know, so like, say, if you're a new
Definitely.
Guy person, if you're a new person going to the shows, those are things you expect. The other thing you need to expect is, you know, a lot of these shows are established, so they're going to have big crowds. Monster Mania.
Sure.
I mean, you were at the
yes.
you were at the Monster Mania from Hell, where Sean Astin, the Samwise Gamgee guy, was there, and the fire department really shut the whole show down. You know,
that was the same
there
time
was
as
so
Pee-wee
many
Herman
people
and all
there.
That was the same
yeah.
show that Tim Curry, Pee-wee Herman was there, and everybody else. That was
yep.
the same convention.
Yep. He had
it's,
like
you know,
five headlines.
The same sense. Right. Right. And I was there for that one. You're right. I was there.
Yeah. I missed that
and
one. I was not sorry
there.
I was. I remember you telling me
you're
the horror stories
there.
From that one. I was like, oh, God.
Well, you know, as much as people painted that picture, right? And there was a lot
yeah.
of people there. But let's, to be honest with you, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've seen a lot of crowds anyway, and I don't really pay much attention
yeah.
to crowds because I'm so focused in what I'm going to do, and because I'm so used to, as I say, I'm in the convention mode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know what I got to do, where I need to be, and stuff like that, which is kind of
yeah.
You know, what I do when I'm ready for a convention, I box out. Who am I going to go get when and da-da-da-da-da. And,
yeah.
you know, for that convention there, you had people coming in on their lunch break, thought they were going to walk up and get Pee-wee Herman's autograph and then walk out
yeah,
of the
exactly.
Mania. And this is
yeah.
where the problems
like,
lie, because these people,
yeah, exactly.
that's kind of why I'm doing this show, is so those things don't happen. So people can be prepared
yeah.
for this, like, when you have
yeah.
a show of any kind,
it's important to remember that if you're going to do it, especially if you're doing a day trip, if you're going to do a day
yeah.
trip, you got to give it the day. You know, you can't
yeah.
expect to get in there unless you have planned ahead. Now, I had a friend of mine that was at that same show, and she just wanted to meet Sean Astin. She just wanted to meet, she wanted to meet Sam Wise. That's all she wanted to meet. That's the only person she wanted to meet. So she went and booked, like, the photo op. So she came in, got the mm-hmm. ticket, did the photo op with him, and got out relatively quickly mm-hmm. because she planned it. And I'm like, now
right.
that will work. But if you think you're going to walk into a show and get Pee-wee Herman's autograph just by thinking there's not going to be a line, I'm like, dude, there are people who've been probably queued at that line since 2 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah,
yeah.
It's not going to happen.
And that,
that's just not going to happen.
That's where the thing – and a lot of people who were there at that convention were kind of new. They had not been to convention.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of them said, hey, I've never been to one of these things before, but – you know, then, you know, they get angry at the staff, but yet they're the ones that bought the ticket
yeah.
to come in on the lunch break expecting to walk up
yeah,
to Paul
exactly.
Rubens to get his autograph. That's not how
yeah,
a convention
exactly.
works.
No,
you know, anyone,
no.
So that's part of the reason. That's one thing you have to expect. You know, these long lines.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a line depending on who it is. Sometimes you won't have a line
yeah.
depending on who it is.
Yeah, exactly.
But for someone,
you know,
like
I said,
Pee Wee Herman. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to get a big line for like a Bill Moseley, because a lot of the hardcore people that go to the show have met Bill already. And it's not a knock on Bill Moseley,
right.
but like if you're going for him, yeah, you're probably not going to get a huge line. You'll get a little line, but maybe you're in a line for 30
yeah.
minutes rather than like 3 hours, you know,
right.
you know,
right.
for the, because if you're coming for the headliner, you're not going to, it's not going to be an in and out 5 minute thing. You're going to come there.
No,
you're going to spend some time waiting.
Exactly.
You know, that's why it helps to
call
buy
the
your
fire
ticket.
Department was the woman who. Yeah. The woman who called the fire
yeah.
marshal was the woman who tried coming in on her lunch break and was upset
oh,
because
okay.
she couldn't just walk up to Pee Wee Herman. That's how that happened,
yeah.
by the way. Because I was there when she
oh, okay,
tried.
Okay.
Upset because
see, like I said,
go up there
I heard so
break.
Many stories from that show, conflicting stories about the show. It's like I said, it's like
yeah.
I've only talked to like you and one other person that were there. and that was it. And I'm like, the only thing, like, you know, and like I said, I mean, and it comes down to, like I said, and, they made a mistake. The show made a mistake. They oversold the tickets. It happens. You know, it's not the staff's fault that it happened.
No.
You know, they're doing the best they can. And then people forget that. They're volunteers. They're not getting paid.
Every
so when
one
you
of
sit there and you're starting to yell at them.
Yeah,
the only person that's getting paid are the guys that run the show. If you, so, if like, for example, if it's a Monster Mania, if your last name isn't Hagen, you're not getting paid for the work you're doing at the show. You're doing it because you're a friend of the promoter, or you're just there's a I'm not sure what the perks are for volunteers, but I'm sure that there's some kind of perk.
Yeah.
You know, they probably can meet one of the celebrities or a couple of the celebrities or something. You know, maybe they can go to that after party they have on Friday night something. You know, or Saturdays. You know, something like that. I'm not I'm not quite sure what they got, but it's a nice. It's,
it might
but
even
the
be
thing
the
is, people don't understand. Yeah, they're not trained. They're just basically okay. This is your job. Your job is to sit there. Anyone walking up to the rope, make sure they got a wristband. And if they got a wristband, you let them in. If they don't have a wristband, direct them to the table where they sell the wristbands. You know, that's what they're told. That's what they're told them to do. They're not sit there to tell you, Mark, well, why is Mark Hamill having a bathroom break? I mean, I've seen arguments like that. I mean, I remember I was at a show. Scout Kayla Compton showed up. She got held up in a freaking – she flew into a show that was being – the Monster Mania that was getting hit by a hurricane. Somehow she got in late Friday. She stopped to get us two slices of pizza. And then go to a table, and somebody was bitching at the staff, saying, why isn't she at the table signing? She's here. The guy's like, can you give her a minute? She just flew in from the West Coast into the eye of a hurricane to get here. You know, she didn't bail like half the people did at that show because of the bad.
Right.
Literally, it was. We had a hurricane Friday and Saturday.
Right.
There was a hurricane right off the coast of Jersey. So it was some of the worst weather I'd ever seen. But still, it's just like people take it out. It's like, you know, they take it out on the staff, and then you get the party people that come to the show. This is something I've started to see recently. The hotels are cracking down on this now. You can't hang out in the lobby and get blotto. I don't know. The recent shows I've been to, like Rock and Shock, you're not allowed to bring a beverage in. You're not allowed to bring your own coffee in. You're not allowed to bring in a soda, water bottle.
That's not allowed to bring
in anything. If you're going to go on to that, if you're going into the convention center, if you want something to drink, you're going to have to either A, leave, or B, buy something at the convention center.
There.
And a lot of hotels and stuff. I remember when I started doing Monster Manias, and you've probably seen this, people used to camp out. They had no room, but they would camp out in the lobby all night. They just fall asleep in the chair.
They still do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw the last one I was at, they were clamping down on that. I saw them clamping down on that, and I said, hey, if you're tired, man, you need to go up to your room. So they had this like a manager down there talking to people who had sat there and dozing, and no one was allowed to have alcohol outside the bar.
Right.
So,
they shouldn't.
And I agree with that policy.
Especially when you have kids and everything else, they don't need to see all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other fun
the thing
part.
Is that they're tired of their lobby getting trashed. Because like I said, people don't get it. On Monday morning, non-conventioners are going to be there trying to stay in the hotel. And if they're still trying to clean up your mess, it looks bad for the hotel. So, that's the party in the lobby has to stop.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. The only time we go down
so it's
to the
like
lobby
you need
is
to pack more than pack more than just a case of beer, a couple of cases of beer and hard alcohol, because you're not going to be able to drink it outside of your room.
Right. See, I don't have to worry about because we have a bus to drink. But I completely agree with you there, though. I think it's obnoxious, and sometimes it's a little bit too much. When you add that element and those elements to the show, I think there are people who can handle it. I think there's people who, just shouldn't. They make fools of themselves, yeah. And you've got families coming in there from all ages and all race in there, whatever mm-hmm. else. What these people don't understand is not only does it make the show look bad and yourself looks bad, because you're probably not going to remember the next day what you did the night you're in now. You know what I mean? But tomorrow you're going to get Absolutely. Made fun of, and everyone's going to say, hey, remember this. You know, and that's not something you want to remember. You want to remember the good times. And let's say it.
Yeah, you don't just sit there and told. Oh, remember when you got arrested? Yeah.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You know,
I was at a right. And you also need to know, people who go to the, like for a Monster Mania, for example, you got to know that when you're there, what you're there for. The name the way Monster Mania is in the name of the convention. Myself, mm-hmm. if I hear Monster in the title, I'm expecting some type of horror element to be at this show.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Exactly.
Talking about,
I mean, the con... and I agree. Like when you go to a horror find, or you go to a a weekend of horrors,
right.
scares that care. You know that it may not be 100% horror.
Horror.
You're
house.
Going to get a strong element of horror.
Yeah.
So if you're not in the horror. Why are you there?
Exactly, because when I'm glad you said that, because that same convention you're talking about, I actually had to step. I don't work for the convention, for the record, as I think we all know. I just go to have fun.
Oh yeah,
that's my vacation.
Same here.
You know, and when I was there, though, that doesn't mean I'm going to let anyone talk rudely to someone else either, because I'm also someone who believes in respect. I think we went over. I only had one issue with the celebrity. I took care of that myself, but. This is the very same convention. You got parents who are upset when their girls were going to meet the kids from the It movie, the new It movie that just came out. There was like six of those kids there. And these parents were angry because people were in costumes. And, oh, that's kind of scary for here, isn't it? It's a little too scary. And I said to, and she's giving the staff a hard time because she's telling the staff that these people should not be around her girls because it's scary for them. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, you know it's a horror convention, right? It says Monster Mania on your ticket. Did you think, you know, these kids who are the movie they're promoting right now, it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean.
The people you're coming to see are in a horror movie.
I mean, to get to that, this is in the ballroom, by the way, which is where the majority of the people are in anyway. You know the ballroom at Monster Mania. I mean, to get to the ballroom, you've already had to walk through most of the place already, and you're just noticing at the ballroom it's a horror convention? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not rocket science, you know? It's like,
Monster
Mania on your ticket. Yeah. So, yeah.
And the worst case of the thing about it is some of the nicest people you're going to run into are the cosplayers, you know?
They really are.
One of the reasons... It's like one of the reasons why my son loves going, and it's like I said, you go on my social media pages, you'll see there's pictures of my son talking to people in full costume, and they're not trying to scare him, they're not trying to terrify him, they're not saying anything, they're not like, you know, the Jason isn't trying to be Jason and hit him with the machete or anything like that. You know, they all are like, look at this adorable, cute little kid. And they I have not had a bad experience with a cosplayer at one of the shows.
Right.
And and I credit the community to that. I credit the cosplay community to that, you know, because I'm like, you know, I've got friends that cosplay. I know you do as well. And it's just, you know, the people, I absolutely get so annoyed when people complain about it, because I'm like, what are you complaining about? These are the nice, first off, these people work their butts off. You're getting to see something really cool, because it's like watching a piece from the movie walking in front of you. And they made that themselves. They built it themselves, and they're putting it on display for your enjoyment. You know, because I've been in costumes and this stuff. I've done costuming and done cosplay. I don't get a lot out of it other than the fact I'm making other people happy, you know, because I'm like, I'm losing body weight. I'm losing my water weight from sweating my butt off in that damn thing.
Yeah.
And that's like,
Absolutely. No, I agree with you there, Tim. Yeah. Absolutely. Now,
yeah,
let's get to the so people, let's say people now. We've talked about before how everything costs money. How do you decide for yourself who's worth what? Do you keep it to depending on what they've done? How do you decide who's worth what and what is worth what? You know what I mean? As far as like gadgets and gizmos or whatever. How do you decide that kind of a budget for yourself?
Well, it's kind of like it's about planning. Like now I'm going to be going to the Scares to Cares at the end of July. I've already started saving money for it. So I'm already putting me off to the side. I'm putting spending money off to the side now because I want to make sure because I have the list of people I want to meet of the celebrities. I have an idea of what I'm going to be. I know like I'm going to be because Scares to Cares has a lot of horror authors there. I'm going to be buying a lot of books at the show. I always buy the books. I buy a lot of books at Scares. But there's always like the occasional thing I might see that'll catch my eye. So I want to make sure I have dispensable cash. If I run across something that is like, oh my God, that's amazing, that I'll be able to get it. And so it's like I would sit there and tell people, if you're going to budget, figure out how you the most important thing is before you do a show is before you buy the tickets to the show, you know, get the hotel reservation in as quickly as you can because that stuff gets gobbled up in like minutes. But
you know it.
Always, you know, figure out how you're going to pay for it. Don't sit there and be like, okay, I reserved this hotel room. Like, say if you're going to the Monster Mania in August, you reserve the hotel room back in January. That is plenty of time to plan out how you're going to pay for the room. Okay, the room is going to cost me this much. If I use, like, if I don't have, like, a standard credit card, if I use, like, everybody, most people do, they use your debit card. They put a hold. They put, like, a $50 hold per day. So say if you're there 3 days. So say you're there 3 days. You're there Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, leaving Sunday. Or maybe you're doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and leaving Monday or something like that.
Right.
Understand, okay, so the hotel's going to cost $450, $150 for that. How am I going to pay for it? Well, I get paid this time just before the show. That's how I'm going to pay for the hotel. Okay, great. Now you got to make sure that you're taking care of your spending cash and stuff because, you know, you can charge stuff to the room if you need to for like meals and whatnot. You know, you can get, you know, so that's sort of like a great, as long as you make sure that you got the hotel covered, you know, you have the money to play around with that you can eat at the hotel if you feel like you spent a little bit too much Friday night, you know? You know, you can instead of trying to go out to like a local diner or something to get breakfast, you can get breakfast at the hotel, you know?
Right.
And just charge it to the room so you can save a little bit of cash that way. So if you plan yourself and kind of have a plan for how you're going to – how have your money and, you know, how you're going to use it and just understand that, you know, I wouldn't go to a show if you're going to have like $100 because you're going to blow through that $100 in the first table you start.
Real quick.
You know, it's going to be like, oh, you know, ooh, t-shirts, action figures, ooh, movies, collectibles, other collectibles, whatever, you know, homemade Christmas tree ornaments, you know, everybody's got a thing that they like, you know, so.
Right.
Like I said, plan out how you're going to, like, plan out your monies. Don't sit there and say, I've got one paycheck. I get paid X amount of money. I'm going to use it all for the convention and then realize two-thirds of it you just lost to the hotel.
Exactly.
Because you didn't budget it. So, you know, like I said, I'll probably go to Scares with a considerable amount of spending cash on me. And
you put it away now.
Yeah, but I start putting it away now.
We did the same thing, by the way. Yeah, we've been doing the same thing.
three or four paychecks before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and so that's what I said. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Yep. Oh, no, I was listening to you. I love what you're saying, because I do the exact same thing you're doing.
Yeah. You know?
You have to.
You know, plan things out. Like, now, if you got kids... Now, like, one thing I would do is I would not plan. I mean, if you, and like I said, there are lots of cost cutting things. You know what? If you don't think you're going to have a lot of money, so you know what? Don't be shy about it. Pack some food. Make yourself so you can make yourself a sandwich up on the road. Nothing's wrong with that. There's nothing lame about it. You know, bring a couple of microwave, Hungry Mans, you know. Bring some microwave pizzas or something, you know, some, you know, Weight Watchers, whatever you're into. You know, bring a pile of them, you know, put them in a nice big fat ice chest and then drive down with it, you know. And, you know, because almost every one of the rooms is going to have microwave. There's going to be a public, either a public microwave somewhere, or most likely because you're in one of those kind of, if you're in a fancier hotel, not a Motel 6, you're going to have... microwaves in the room, you know, because like I said, I mean, we usually buy food for my son, because my son doesn't like a lot of the meals that they serve at the hotel restaurants or some of the local places. So what we do is that we bring stuff that we know he likes, and we keep it in the fridge in the hotel room. And and that way he gets to eat what he wants to eat. He may not eat at the same time that my wife and I are eating, but he still gets to eat, but he's still eating. He's still, you know, you're still being a good parent about it, you know?
Right.
And don't, I can't stress this enough. If money is really tight, because like you don't make a lot of money, or you work for a pizza place, or you're a delivery guy or something like that, you don't have a really high, don't be shy about not staying at the host hotel. There's nothing wrong if there's a super way up the road that's half the price and it fits your budget. Absolutely, go for it, man. Stay at the super you know, because if it helps you with your enjoying the show. If you're going there and you're dead broke because you spent everything on the extravagant hotel that the con is being held in. You know, but there was a Motel 6 up the road that cost one third of it. There's nothing wrong with that. And I've done that before. Now, I've gone to shows where I've stayed at the cheapy, cheapy hotels just because I knew I was going to be wanting to spend a lot of money at the show. There were some big name people there, or there's some big name stuff I knew was going to be there. So I was not shy about the fact that I'm not going to stay at the host hotel. I'm going to stay somewhere else.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
You know?
No, there's not. It's a smart way. Right.
Yeah.
That's a smart way to save money, and it's easy.
Not all jobs are created equal, and not all paychecks are created equal. So you work within your budget, and you can still have a great time.
Exactly.
Like I said, I did. I can't tell you how many times I did Rock and Shock because I was unemployed. I did a single day, and I drove up there in the morning, and I drove back when I was done at night. And I didn't spend any money in a hotel. I only had a few hundred bucks, but I maximized what I could spend at the show because I didn't stay there.
Right.
I didn't mind driving the 45 minutes from my house to the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pay $20 for the parking and that's it. You know, don't be shy about that. And like I said, you know, it's like I never understood why people like who lived in Philadelphia actually stayed in the hotel. I'm like that. And then we can be complaining about, oh, man, I really can't afford it. I mean, I don't know why I keep doing this in the hotel, man. I spend all my money. I'm like, well, dude, you live 30 minutes from here. Why the heck don't you just drive in and then drive? Get up early in the morning. Make sure you get a good make sure you can get a parking spot in the lot. And then you drive home at night. I wish I could do that at Monster Mania. I would triple the things I would buy if I could get away with that at Monster Mania.
Right? If only. I wish that was the case. I'm with you on that one. Fortunately, we're not that lucky. I don't know how far. How long does it usually take you to get down?
Say again? Oh, for when we drive down there? Depending what time. I usually leave... and that's something else, you know, budget, you know, how long it takes you to drive there. Be careful about, like, we drive down the Thursday before the show just in case we have a bad trip. So we kind of cough up the extra money. Yeah, I mean, I cough up the extra money for an extra night at the hotel just in case, because I've done that. I've gone to shows and I just hit endless, or the persons I was going with took forever to get to my house, and we didn't leave until, I remember one time I did a Monster Mania, and the guy, I wanted to leave at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and the guy I was going with, his dad made him paint his porch or something, so we didn't leave till like almost 1 o'clock when we left. And I'm like, we hit every traffic known to man, and we got there like 7 o'clock. And I was like, well, God, this, I was like, never again. So, but I usually leave here. If I leave at 10 o'clock here, I can usually get there between 3 and 4. So I can miss all the major traffic. I miss the morning commute traffic, and then I miss the evening traffic because I get there before the evening traffic comes in. Because I can usually get there in about usually six and a half hours it takes me to get to. I can get to the Crown Plaza at Cherry Hill, usually about six and a half hours. On a bad trip, it's usually 6.5 hours.
Yeah, it's not that bad, but you know what? Also, people should probably also keep in their budget is when you leave for that kind of thing is also have money for tolls and things of that nature as
Yes.
Not everywhere has tolls, you know?
Yep. Not everybody uses that electronic thing you have up here where you can just kind of cruise through and it bills you. Yeah, not everybody has that. And some tolls are tricky. There might be a toll. There may not be a toll going down, but there's a toll coming back. So, like, when we go to Montemania, like, when we do Monster Mania, I never go over to George Washington in New York City. Never go over that bridge because it's always screwed up. So I go out of my way. Yeah. I go over the Tappan Zee Bridge, and then I come down.
Oh.
Then I come down. Then I come down the Garden State Parkway, and then I link up with the. Mm-hmm. Then, like about I don't know, maybe 30 miles down the Jersey, the Garden State, then I merge up with the New Jersey Turnpike. Cuts down on the toll on the turnpike.
Right.
Instead of paying like $9, I pay like $3. But when you're coming back across the Tappan Zee, back into New York, they have a toll. But there's not a toll coming into New Jersey. So you have to be wary of that because not all roads have tolls where, like, you can go one direction and come back up the exact same highway, take the exact same route, and there's a toll going the other way going home. And that's always a killer because you're going home. So you're dead broke most of the time.
Right.
So always, I can't give you enough. Always budget gas and always budget tolls, knowing, hey, guess what? On Sunday, Sunday or Monday, you're going home, by the way. So you need to make sure you have your gas and toll money so you can make it home. Because if you spend that, I hope you like the state that you're stuck in now and you get paid again.
Yeah, right. You're there for a bit. Right?
You're going to be there for about a week or so, and then you're trying to keep your job because your boss is pissed off that you're not back yet. You're like, oh, well, my car is stalled out and I have no gas.
Absolutely. Now, because, you finally get to meet people. Now, when it comes to meeting, the people or whatever, are you more of like the person kind of a meter, or are you more of a trinket kind of a person? Do you know what I mean?
I am wide open. I talk to everybody there. It's like, I think that's why you like me on your podcast. I got a big mouth. And I'm not afraid to use it, So I talk to everybody, especially when I'm in the line. I talk up the line, and I tell jokes when I'm in the line. You know, I remember when we were in line to meet Kate Beckinsale one time. We were all just sitting there shooting the poop and just talking up a storm and just telling jokes. And I remember the comment was that she's like, all that Kate could hear coming from the hallway outside the room was laughter. And that was us. We were just cracking joke after joke after joke. One guy was like, "You should think about doing stand up." I'm like, "No, I'd freeze like I was an Eskimo in the Antarctic." but the thing is, though, I'm the kind of guy that because that's how you make friends at a convention. You meet in line.
Yeah,
that's how we met. We met in line. I can't remember what show it was at. I mean, probably a Monster Mania. But you and I were in line for something. Yeah, it had to have been Monster Mania. and we were in line to meet somebody, and we just started talking. Yeah. So, and that's when you figure out amazing things. Like neither one of us knew we were from the same state. Yeah, sorry. Wild car just drove by my window.
I know how that goes. But that's the
stuff
you learn. Like, I didn't know anybody came from my state. Like, I'm probably the one who came the furthest. But nope, Tim comes from here too.
Yeah. I met two of the best friends I have in all the world. I met at a Buffy the Vampire Slayer convention. We just happened, because of our tickets, we sat down and had breakfast together. And we were sitting there having breakfast, and we just struck up a conversation. And I realized, oh, my God, you live in Malden, Massachusetts? I live in Somerville, Massachusetts. We're like one town over from each other, you know? And that's the thing. And the thing is, that's the amazing thing. It's like, you get the thing that people say convention family, and people hear about that and they're like, oh, that sounds really cool. It's like, you know how you make a convention family? You talk to people. You talk in line. You talk to folks.
Yeah.
Sit in the lobby.
True.
Sit down in the lobby and just sit down and talk to the folks that are sitting around you, because I guarantee there will be people all over the lobby. You meet
some
of the most
interesting
people.
No one's
going
to bite you.
No, exactly. Because we're all here for the same reason. We're going to have a good time. Yeah.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact, like we said before, like this is one of the, like my one of the biggest things I was asking my wife before I started it, that what do you get out of going to the convention? One of the best things about that thing is when you go to the horror convention, like you said before, how accepting it is, that you can talk about horror stuff with other horror fans, and they don't look at you like you have three heads. They absolutely, not only do they get involved with it, but they, like, add things to it, and it gets even better, you know? And what a feeling that is, to feel like you belong. Where outside that, people are like, why do you watch that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And
what's wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong. Right, right.
Yeah, exactly.
What's wrong with us? Well, like, having culture, stuff like that, It's sad.
The one thing I stress to people about is, like, look, man, no matter what you like, people are going to accept it. Somebody, you may go there and be like, "Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Scream. You're a huge fan of Halloween." They'll get along because the Scream fan, they understand each other, and they say, "You know what? Halloween and Scream, they're not the same, but you know what? That's what you like. This is what I like. It's accepting." Whereas you don't have people saying, "Oh man, you like Scream? That's so lame. Jason is so much cooler. Right. He would so wipe out Ghostface." And then, "Oh, Ghostface is smart, Jason. He has a brain." And you don't have those kind of arguments at a car convention.
Right.
And it's so refreshing. That's why I keep going. Why I kept going back. Because it's not people trying to one-up each other. And there's nothing worse than that. Nothing worse than a fan base trying to one-up each other. Because it takes out both.
That is annoying.
It scares away the people who might, a new person wanting to check something out. So,
exactly.
I tell people, if you're going to go to a horror convention, just understand, you're going to see horror. You may not all be, it may not all be horror. You may go to a show and the Willy Wonka kids are there. But understand, the name of the show is Chiller Theater. So there's definitely a horror element to it. So you got to be prepared for that. Prepared that not everyone's going to be nice. There are always jerks. There always will be jerks.
Mm-hmm.
I've had more than my fair share of run-ins with jerks at the shows.
Right.
And,
guest-wise?
Oh, no, fan-wise. Guests, I honestly had... God, maybe three bad celebrity meetings, maybe three, and that's being really That's not a conservative number. I'm making a high level guess. I can only tell one off the top of my head, and that was when I met Lou Ferrigno.
Who was that? Out of curiosity.
Was that Schiller? Yeah, Lou Ferrigno at Schiller. He was kind of a. He was really a jerk. I'm not gonna lie about it. The guy, he and his handler were jerks.
Mm.
So, like I said, it was just, but like I said, they were all about money. They expected you to pay. Like, I was going to get an autograph. My wife wanted to get an autograph because she was a fan of the Bill Bixby Hulk show from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get something for her. So I did the line. Mm-hmm. They expected me to pay for a picture. I'm like, I don't want a picture. So I'm getting this for my wife. The guy didn't want to personalize.
Right.
He wasn't like, he wanted me to pay extra for personalization. So I was like, no, that's fine. I'll just pay for the autograph. And then I turned around and I wrote to Kim on the autograph myself. I got the same color Sharpie he used. And I went to the store, bought the same color Sharpie, and I wrote it on there myself because they wanted to pay. It was all about money, 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 money. And it's like, because he had just did that celebrity apprentice show with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And
right.
He was on that show, so he had some heat on his career. So that was what they were all about. Yes, and he was like, but fan-wise, I've had more bad run-ins with fans than I've had with than I've had with celebrities. Like, I remember I was at a show and there was like a pack of guys. It was like two or three guys, and they were just picking fights with like guys with their girlfriends. And it's like they were by themselves, and there would be three of them ganging up on for no reason. And I remember I stepped up to one of them. I stepped up to him. I was like, man, back off. Because the kid, he was a kid. He looked like he was in high school, like he was 16 or something. The girl looked like she was 16. I'm like, dude, back off. And I'm not a little guy, so you know that. And so usually it's like my size is enough to dissuade most people. I don't have to go beyond that. But fortunately, also what helped me was the two of the guys who were working the show immediately came up and were right on my shoulder, kind of like right off my shoulder, basically saying, you're going to do something. We're right here, too. But these guys, they went and they somehow snuck in after everything had shut down. They trashed Dave's audiovisual equipment that year because they got thrown out of the show because they kept doing that to people. They kept running up to try to, because I don't know what the mentality was. They just wanted to get in the, they wanted to get into fights with people where they could gang up 3-on-1. And finally, Dave personally threw them out of the show, but somehow they snuck back into the hotel. They found his audio visual equipment and they trashed it. I remember Sunday there were no movies or anything. Dave had to make the announcement. I'm sorry, somebody broke the audio visual equipment. We can't do movies today. We're so sorry. So they did like a bunch of the celebrities stood up and they did extra Q&As instead. It worked out, but it was just like, but that was all because of some jerks. And I was like, what the hell, man?
Why do they go to things? People like that don't belong going to those things. They belong sitting in their house doing nothing.
They should be around other people
have a good time.
Yeah, I can't wrap my mind around people who do that. I really can't. We all have our violent streaks. I remember when I was in my 20s and I was in the military. I'll put it kindly for myself. I was very short tempered when I was in my mid to early 20s. and some of the things I did when I was in the military did not help that short temperedness. Like I used to play hockey and it was a full contact league. So I understand having that young, aggressive, testosterone feeling, but I never targeted people. I never went out of my way. It's like, I always was like reacting to something around me. I was like, you know.
Yeah.
But I never was the guy that would sit there and single out some poor person and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to mess him up. Why? Because I can. I never got that mentality.
That's terrible.
I was never a bully, so I never understood the bully mentality, I guess.
I was a bully buster. I can tell you about that plenty because I was pretty short-tempered when it came to picking on other people. Like what you went through, I have no problem stepping into things like that. I do that on a regular basis.
Oh.
I'm not going to sit around and watch someone be jackasses, you know?
Yeah, I still do that. I still do it.
Also,
I still do, I mean,
wanted
I haven't
to mention
done it.
To you.
Yeah.
Yep. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You said you're a wrestling fan, right?
Yes, I am.
You said you're a wrestling fan, correct? I just wanted to
pass.
I don't know if you knew this or not. I have another friend of mine who runs a wrestling convention. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to a wrestling convention?
I have to say no. I have never done. I've only been to shows I've been to plenty of shows where wrestlers have been there, but I've never been to a wrestling centric show. I always wanted to go to one.
I want to paint. I want to see if you get if you can follow this. I want you to picture this now. Now, as you know, I myself have been in the wrestling business, as you already know. However, I want you to think. Now, the reason I go to these shows for the most part is to, again, pay tribute to the people who have, you know, are responsible for me doing what I do. I went to my first wrestling convention, and it was actually it was in Fall River. Now it's in Rhode Island for the most part, but it was in Fall River at the time. Picture this. You're a convention guy. I know you know how this goes. I walk into this room. From wall to wall to wall, a wrestler from the golden age of wrestling. You had ready? Coco Beware, the Birdman. Coco Beware on one.
Wow.
Godfather on the other pie. Sable. Sonny. Bobby the Brain Heenan. Hillbilly Jim, Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, Axe and Smash, Demolition, Barbarian the Warlord, the Powers of Pain, Jameson, the manager from back in the 90s, Max Moon, and then Duke the Dumpster Drosy, Big Van Vader, Harley Race,
Duke the Dumpster. Now that's a name.
Paul Orndorff. Nikolai Volkoff next to each other. Kevin Sullivan. And, you know, just a few others thrown around all over this place.
Yeah.
Jillian Hall. Tony Atlas.
Oh, wow.
Wall to wall. I got to tell you, when I walked into this room, it was in this place was like the way it was set up was kind of like a gymnasium kind of a setup. It was in a hotel. It was in the and then Chris Masters and Rob Van Dam. All in this one room. But when I walked in, and these are the guys who are responsible for me doing what I do. I got to tell you, even though in wrestling, which in the locker rooms, we're trained not to like what we call mark out meeting our heroes.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you that feeling like, how am I going to make it through this day? All these people everywhere. I was, as a wrestling fan, before I was a wrestler, it was like, I can't say what I referred to it as, but it was not necessarily a nice term for something the guys go through sometimes when we think about women, if you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. I was in glory, in other words. That's a nice way to put it. I was like, this is amazing. This is heaven for me.
Yeah.
And friend of mine runs that. His name is Joe Bruin. It's called the New England Fan Fest. It's actually where I ended up meeting my wife just 3 months after Danielle Harris at Monster Mania predicted I'd meet the woman I'd spend the rest of my life with. Go figure. I met her. I talked to Danielle Harris at the bar at Monster Mania. I don't drink.
Yeah.
I was drinking Pepsi. And Danielle Harris predicted that I would meet the woman I'd spend the rest of my life at one of these, quote, shows, which was she was being nice, and it was true. Because 3 months later, I was at this wrestling convention, and that's where I would meet my wife. As she was also into wrestling. She was running a podcast, actually, at that time. So she was doing this before me. But hers was all wrestling. Mine is kind of all over the place. But You know, that's called New England Fan Fest, and it's now I think it's run by All Access. The guy who runs, his name is Joe Bruin. Wicked nice guy. If you ever get a chance, go check it out. I don't know if what their story is this year, but the year after that, they also do the New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, which I mentioned before. So it's a little bit of both. So you're familiar how, you know, a convention works for horror. You have the movies and the Q&As. Well, Joe does the same thing with wrestlers, doing the Q&As and all these other things. But also, I got to say, I do a lot of conventions. I've done a few conventions, but what Joe does differently is, depending on your ticket package, right, you actually get free autographs and pictures included in your ticket price of purchase.
That's cool.
So it's included. So, and there's
I've seen a couple of shows that do that. I know a couple of shows that do that. You can basically like roll an autograph into the price of your ticket, where it's like if you pay X amount of money for the ticket, you get this guy, and you can tack this on and get this guy and this gal's autograph, sort of thing. That's how I met Kurt Angle. I basically
Kurt Angle
was at a show.
The year after that.
Yeah, I was at a show, and he was there just after he went over the TNA when he did. He started doing Impact Wrestling, and it was like maybe he'd been there about 3 or 4 months. He had been in there, and he was doing this show up here in Springfield, Mass. And now I paid a little extra. I paid the extra to meet him. I didn't pay for anybody else. I paid for him. People thought I was crazy because like Bill Shatner was there. Like you don't want William Shatner? I was like, no, I don't want to pay the price for William Shatner. I said I'd much rather meet Kurt Angle, because Kurt Angle's blown my mind in the wrestling world for the last 15 years. So I'd rather meet Kurt Angle.
Right.
You know, the man who won a gold medal with a broken neck.
Yeah, he'll tell you that story. It's true.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I remember I talked to him about it.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. He can go into great detail about it, too. And he's
also,
he's not afraid to tell you stories either. He will. But yeah, I wanted to mention that while I had you on the air. I wanted to tell you about that show, because if you were ever a wrestling fan, you go to this thing. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing
because I mean, I've met some, like I said, I've met wrestlers at shows. Like I met Greg DeHemma Valentine. I just said Kurt Angle. I've met Kevin Nash, Sergeant Slaughter, Tito Santana. I've met these guys, but they've all been part of like a bigger show. They're not just a show dedicated.
Sure.
I've seen them. I've seen the wrestling conventions online, but I've never been to one personally. And I'm like, I need to break down and drag my butt over there and do it.
Well, the good thing about this is it's not too far away for us. It's usually in Rhode
Island
now. Usually they hold it at the Warwick. Usually it's at the Crown Plaza over there in Warwick.
Okay.
Which is in Rhode Island.
Again, day trip.
Or the worst kind of worst was in like Pawtucket, I think. But last time I went, I got to see Dan Severn, almost all four horses. Rick was in there. But you got Arn, you got J.J. Dillon, Barry Windham, Leaping Lake Tafo, Sean Mooney, who I became friends with, go figure. But it's kind of like when you go to these conventions, like either the horror or the sci-fi, and you see these people, God, they're alive. But then you go to this wrestling convention, and it's like the people you watch growing up on TV as a wrestling fan. And now I'm in this. That's a huge thrill for me, but for a fan of any kind. You know, the reason why we get in the business is because we are fans of these people. And what a time it is. And I can't recommend that one enough to you. You should go check that out if you, someday you should check it out. It's not far away. And like I said, he does a great job packaging things together because, you know, depending on what level you get or whatever, in all honesty, any convention, you got to pay to get in. They got to pay autographs on top of that. Well, this one here. You know, there are a few other people they call vendor guests, which you got to pay like maybe $20. And that's the other thing. It's affordable.
Yeah.
This convention is one of the most affordable conventions you'll ever go to. And me being a budget-conscious individual that I am, it's a great time. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is
definitely
trying to figure out who you get
definitely,
when.
Yeah, I definitely want to check it out. Definitely check it out next one that we've.
And then they also
find
the next one
that comes up.
Yeah, yeah. And he also does the Fan Fest, like I said, and the Hall of Fame, which is nice. He takes not just people who are on TV, but he also takes like the independent guys who are, you know, killing themselves entertaining people over the last, you know, how long on the independent circuit. So he actually honors both kind of genres of people and puts them in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, which is where I am also, by the way. But anyway, it's a kind of cool deal, you know, and, you know, it's fun. But I can't recommend that one enough.
Well,
you check that out
like
if you're a wrestling fan. If you do, let me know, and I'll go with you because it's fun.
No kidding. I'll,
I'll
have to keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, I'm not on Facebook anymore. I just don't have time for the actual Facebook. I'm on the Messenger and stuff once in a while, but I'm not on Facebook because I don't have time for that. But if you ever go on Facebook, look up Joseph Bruin or All Access, and it's a great time. He'll hit him up. He's a really good guy. He's a good friend of mine. He's a Rhode Island guy and a family guy also. He's got like 19 kids or something. And every kid, every year he has another one. He's kind of fun.
God.
Call him the Bruin Brood. I mean,
I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But I know it's getting late, and I know you also have to get up for work tomorrow, like a normal person, like all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
But, hey, it's been a great time having you on here. Now, hopefully, we know we help some people figure out kind of some ways to save themselves time, aggravation, and save money and whatnot.
Yeah.
Did you want to add anything else that you think that people should know going into a convention?
Yeah, well, the one thing I would want to sit there and tell people, if you're on the fence about going – go, because I'm not kidding when I say 15 years ago, there was three times as many conventions as you got today. We don't know how many of these shows are going to be surviving the post-COVID era. You know, a lot of shows are coming back, but we don't know how we don't know financially how stable they are. So if you're thinking about going to a show, it doesn't matter where you are. There's shows all over the country still. 5 years from now, that could drastically change. You know, you could be just cut down to just a small handful of shows like this, you know, like in Canada, the really only horror show I can name off the top of my head is one that's done by Rue Morgue. There used to be tons of other shows up there. But now it's like, if you really are thinking about it, just try it out. Go. You know, go to a show, see if you like it, because, like I said, they may not be here forever. I mean, I'm telling you from experience, when I was a kid, the sci-fi con shows dried up and they stopped happening. And it wasn't until I really honestly couldn't tell you when they started again, but I can tell you by the late 80s, the sci-fi cons had dried up and they stopped happening. You know, the Star Trek and Doctor Who cons just, especially when Doctor Who went off the air the first time, they just stopped happening. And I'm like, if you're thinking about it, and you're thinking about it, and you're thinking about it, and you just don't pull the trigger on it, you may miss out, particularly if you're dealing with a local show or something like that. Like, I can do that local, that's a local show I can do, and you don't go to the show, that person may be, because he's not getting enough, they are not getting enough interest, they're not getting enough fans, they have to pack up their tent and they have to close up, you know, and it's usually it's abrupt. You know, it's usually it's an abrupt thing. Like I always use the example of the convention Horror Find. That used to be Monster Mania and Horror Find. They were side by side. They had the two shows a year. They did all this stuff. Had great run. And then basically the guy who ran Horror Find got really, really, really sick, and the con bottomed out because of it. Because he couldn't put energy into the con anymore. He was the guy who ran it and everything. He didn't have like a succession in place. So Horror Find went from 1 year they did a show in Pennsylvania, and then the next show got canceled because they just couldn't get people to go to it. They'd lack of interest. They said, we're gonna get one for the next year, and we're gonna be bigger than ever. And the show packed up and just collapsed during that year that they had taken a year off. And the show just disappeared and never came back. So a lot of the people who were involved in Scares to Care were horrifying. They used to help run Horrifying. So, but the thing is that, you know, you can't guarantee that the show is going to be there next year. So if you got a chance to go, man, go. Go. It's a blast. We can both attest to that. It's a great time, and you'll have a great time.
Exactly. And also, like anything else, if you know, let's say there's someone there you've always wanted to meet, if you pass up that opportunity, especially this day and age, and I can tell you this from experience as well as anyone else can, life is one of those things that it just happens. It doesn't matter how old someone is or anything else. And if there's someone at some show you want to meet and you have the opportunity to do so, if you don't get to do that opportunity, I'm telling you, you're going to live with that regret because you could have had that chance. If you have that chance to meet someone who means that much, you got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you want to see, you know, because you're not promised they're ever going to come back.
Exactly. Ever. Or live. Unfortunately, I've missed out on some people at Monster Mania who probably never go back to Monster Mania. Yeah. But I'm sure it's somewhere out down the road I'll meet them up with someone. I know that our family has two conventions this year. We're going to Monster Mania in August, finally. And we're looking forward to Comic-Con. This year, I'm just going to go as a guest. Last year, I worked it, and it was the biggest regret of my life. I told Dave, I said, Dave, I would much rather work for you guys. As a fan, I feel more appreciated than these people were treating me as a worker.
Yeah, yeah.
It was horrible. Yeah. But anyway, that's what we're going to do this year. And then probably we'll see you guys, what, next March, right? If not, well, no, actually, as far as the convention, we'll see you next March.
Yeah,
we'll
see
you before that.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. I mean, definitely, like I said, this year the only show I can definitely say I'm going is Scares, and that's the end of July. I don't know. I might do another show in the fall. I'm looking at possibly doing Hunt Valley, but I don't know. Depends on vacation. Depends on finances, things like that. You know. Also, my son's going
to
be in school.
Right. Another thing people need to keep in mind is scheduling, vacation time, school time, things of that nature. Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. It's got to be.
Well, Tim, thank you very much.
Think about that stuff.
Yeah,
my pleasure. Always a pleasure to be a part of this. Yeah, well, thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. And, always a pleasure. And tell Kim and Tommy I said hello. And we all send them our best. One of these days we'll all get together and it'll be a good old day.
Yep, definitely. We'll plan it out, brother. Yeah, you guys all have a good night. And I'll be speaking with you on the next time.
You will. Be safe, Tim. Have a great night, and don't work too hard tomorrow.
Gonna try.
All right, buddy. All right, everyone. Hey, that was Tim. And Tim made some really great points, and I agree with everything he said. And it's funny, as I had remember just before he came on, I had even said some things that he added, if you heard him, that I had mentioned also. You got a budget, you got a plan, and whatnot. Something I do also, he had mentioned, you know, he knew who was going to have. Something I do, break them down for you. So for Monster Mania, for example, we'll use Monster Mania for this example, because Monster Mania is a place where you have celebrities in various different spots. And you have to wait in line. You got to factor in lines and everything else. So I'm going to take you guys through kind of how I prepare for a Monster Mania day. So for me personally, what I do is I make my list and I know kind of who the bigger names are versus kind of the people I can just walk up and have an issue waiting for. A big name, someone who has never been there before, or someone who is kind of either new to the convention or some big name. You had heard us mention people like Pee Wee Herman or Elvira. In the past, John Carpenter, Robert Englund, all these people. These are all fairly big names, people. When you go to a convention like this, or these conventions, And you know those kinds of people are there. My suggestion to you guys, and believe it or not, if they're there, and this is the other thing you have to keep in mind too, the conventions themselves are people who
keep talking about shit like that.
Anywho, all right, so anywho, sorry about that, folks. Yeah, sorry. All right, so, yeah, we'll keep it a couple more minutes. But what I wanted to mention is, like I said, you got to plan out kind of who you're going to get when. And what I mean by that is you want to start with your bigger names if you can. And the shows will usually tell you who's going to be in certain days. Most conventions are on a weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, normally. Now, I can tell you, and anyone who's ever gone to a convention, Saturday is the busiest day of any convention. I'll tell you why. Kids are off from school, for the most part, and people usually adults are off on either the weekend or whatever the case may be. So that is something you've got to prepare for. Saturday is going to be the busiest day of any convention. So you know there's going to be a lot of people on a Saturday. It's going to be a lot of people all day. The other thing on a Saturday, I'm going to use Monster Mania for example, because and I'm going to bring in the New England Fan Fest, the wrestling convention after that. And lastly, I'll show you the Comic-Con type of thing. Now, for Monster Mania, what I do is I make that list. For any list, any of these conventions, I make my list, who do I need, who do I want, right? The big names, I get away as quick as I can on Friday. Saturday, I bang out as many as I can, as much as I can. I make a map of where everyone is. I'm friendly with a lot of the people who work there, so I'll find out, where a certain celebrity is. From Monster Mania, for example, I know that there's usually a couple rooms they're usually in. There's a ballroom, as that you heard me mention to Tim. And then usually there's like the megastar being like a little room upstairs or have other arrangements. But when you're planning this out, you first get those big stars out of the way, and then you get everyone else, you kind of fill the big apps on a Saturday, as many as you can. So come Sunday, if you're there all weekend, you can just get whoever's left over. I always encourage you guys to get someone who's in between. Now, bear with me one second. I'm going to go do one thing. Hold on. All right, folks, I am here. I just had to check my little Rolodex of people I've met over the years. But anyway, what I want to do is give you guys a little bit of a summary. So for a Monster Mania, again, there's a smaller room. There's a bigger ballroom. You have the smaller room. So what you would do is you would start at the top, whoever you wanted to meet first. And Tim said, a lot of these people come back a lot, and, if you've met them already, it's okay to be cool and say, hey, how you doing? Wave to them, be cordial or whatever. But that doesn't mean you have to get an autograph or picture from that person just because, they're there. That's another thing you have to understand. You absolutely have the right to say no. You have the right to not get an autograph or a picture. And I'm going to tell you something I wish someone told me. If someone makes you uncomfortable as far as a celebrity goes, if they're mean, they're rude, there is nothing that says you absolutely have to get anything from them. To be honest, looking back, if I had used my own common sense and read the situation better, excuse me, I drink my water, the incident I would have had And for me, it's really only one celebrity, really, I've ever had a run-in with. I've said that story many times, so I'm not going to bring it up again. But all honesty, looking at the situation itself, if I had realized that this person was clearly having issues, what I should have done is just remove myself from the situation, walked away. There's nothing saying I needed to get anything from him, and I could have just walked away from that individual, and nothing would have transpired. But I didn't. It's important to listen to your instincts. I think it's easy to be caught up and swept up with, you know, meeting and being around all of these names. But remember, they're just people. That's the biggest thing a lot of people forget. They're people. you know, and that being said, my wife and I kind of teach the kids when it comes to meeting celebrities and stuff like that out and about, unless you're, you know, they're there for that purpose right there, like at a convention, you're waiting to meet them in line or whatever, that's one thing. But, you know, if they're walking around the lobby or just sitting in a restaurant or they're sitting somewhere just hanging out, they're in a elevator, we always teach the kids to kind of give them the respect, you know, and also their space when they need it, and not to, you know, bombard them with nonsense, not to, you know, you know, obviously, you know, our kids wouldn't take pictures of people in the bathroom. Yes, I say that because people do that. They go to follow these celebrities into the bathroom and then take a picture with the celebrity in the bathroom. Think about how that would make you feel if someone followed you into the bathroom to take a picture of you. That wouldn't probably make most people feel pretty good. It's not respectful. Everyone deserves some privacy, especially in that scenario. Someone's eating with their family. Give them that space. Let them eat with their family or their friends and so forth. In the past, I've been around with Steve Carell. Steve Carell, when he's out with his family, doesn't like to be disturbed by a lot of people. Can I get your autograph? If he's by himself or whatever, if he's by himself and you say, Mr. Carell, can, you know, this, I'm a big fan or whatever. He might be, you know, he might give you a little autograph or a picture or whatever, but when he's with his family, it's kind of knowledge, you leave him alone. Same thing goes for a lot of other people. The story I told about John Carpenter is true. I was sitting in the lobby and he approached me and we started talking and I didn't even know he was John Carpenter because I just talked to everybody. Kind of like Tim said, you just kind of strike up a conversation. You don't pay attention to who people are, you just start talking. I thought he was just a friendly old guy who was Carpenter. Horror icon, the creator of Halloween, John Carpenter, as you know that. And I also told the story about Wes Craven and Robert Englund, how nice they were. You know, and for the amount of negativity that there is, I've never had any issues with anyone except for that one person. And I've had nothing but positive things with everyone else. That goes with the wrestling convention. That goes for the horror convention, and that goes for, you know, Comic-Con. Now, I described how I do Monster Mania. I map everyone out, get the big names first, and then kind of fine-tune everyone after that. The wrestling convention, a little bit different. What I do for the wrestling convention is, as I mentioned, autographs and pictures are included within the ticket price. I'll get those first. Those are free, and I'll get those banged out. Depending on which ticket price you get and which, you know, what package you get, you can get either way from two to, you know, four autographs per person. And there's usually a good amount of guests. Usually sometimes the most I've seen is like, you know, 12 super, eight, I think it was almost, I think one year he had almost 15 super ticket guests, which were included in the ticket price. And there are people who range from Bushwick or Luke, Tito Santana, Diana Hart, Jimmy and Elwood Hart, rest his soul. Also rest his soul, you know, Harley Race, Greg Valentine, the Godwins, you know, all of these people were included in, you know, I get those first. There was quite a few of those and I had four of each person. So that was pretty cool. And then I got a picture with each of those person, with those people. So, I mean, and then I got the vendors after that. So, again, I budget that because I already have those autographs, those, you know, think about it. You have 24 super. You have quite a few super ticket guests. Let's say 20 super ticket guests. Four of those autographs per person and a picture each. That's a lot of autographs per person. You already got autographs walking in the door, plenty of them, right? But then when you add in, you know, these other vendors, and again, the wrestling convention, very affordable, $20 at the most, maybe 30 pops. I think the most I've ever seen a wrestler charge is maybe $50, and that was like Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, a big name, someone who's been around the block a few. I think Goldberg was $50. Goldberg is obviously someone who would, you know, deserve to have 50 or something. So that's the thing to remember there. I think when I met Bobby Lashley at the very same convention, he was not very expensive. He was like $40. But when you go to these conventions, one, you're going to be spending money on these autographs. And the way I break it down is it depends on who it is and how much I'm willing to spend. I said a long time ago, while I was waiting on my very first convention, it was New York Comic Con, I knew that autographs cost money. I wasn't naive. I got it. It came from the wrestling community. I know how it works. And I figured, you know, I'm going to make a, you know, mental number for myself, and that's how much I'm going to spend per autograph. That was started really at New York Comic Con, and I followed that all the way to Monster Mania and all the way to the wrestling convention and beyond. And for me personally, for the most part, I usually try to stick to $40 at the max. Obviously, there are some people who may get more depending on what they're offering as far as the deal. If someone's giving me a picture and two autographs for $50 rather than, you know, $20 for a picture and another 10 for an autograph, I'm going to get the other deal for $50 because I get more of a value out of that. Does that make sense? For the most part, for you know, Dave's convention, for Monster Mania, if you get a picture, the way it used to be was you got a picture, you got an autograph. If you got an autograph, you got a picture at the table, which usually encouraged. Of course, over the time, that has changed. Some people charge for just the photo op, or some people just do that. And sometimes they add the you know, the professional photo ops, which I personally don't like. That's my preference. There's some people who love those. I don't, but there are those who do. But then, you know, going to New England Fan Fest, the wrestling convention, I would bang out, you know, the super ticket guests first because they're right there. You get early access to them. You bang out all the super ticket guests, depending on how many there are. Get them all to sign their autographs. I mean, let's see. If you have, I think that he had quite a few that year. I don't remember what year that 2000, the one in 2014, my bad. The convention in 2014 had quite a few super guests. I think it was like 20 plus, and then four autographs per person. So just to get that done, you know, was not bad. I think outside of those, as far as vendors goes, I probably only spent maybe $300 with the other. It was about $300 for people who were vendors. You know, it was like $20 here, $15 there, $10 there. But these are people who have, you know, obviously paved the way for me to do what I what I've done for a number of years, made a career out of. I don't mind paying them for the honor of the fact that they are allowed. They have paved the way for me to do what I do. Does that make sense? I hope you do. And the same thing goes for these people in the horror and the music, in the movie business. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't want to be in the filmmaking business. I wouldn't have anything to entertain. Some of these people have made my life better by watching their experiences on a movie or on a television show. And that's why I don't mind giving them something for that part of it. I try to keep it at 40 max for most people. But again, sometimes that can depend. I would never spend $100 for any one person ever in my life. There are celebrities who do charge that. I'll tell you this too. I would never spend any more than $100 for anyone either. That doesn't mean a picture or an autograph. I don't want to sound like one of those people, but you know, there's definitely a level of entitlement for someone who wants to charge $100 for their autograph. And yeah, there are people who do. you know, Tim mentioned William Shatner. William Shatner, on average, usually charges anywhere around $100 for an autograph, or about the same for a picture. I don't think he does table photos. Pay another $100 or so for another photo op. So now you're talking $200 for one guy. You know, depending on who you are, some of you guys might like that. And if that's something you feel comfortable doing, by all means. For myself, who's a budget person, who's a family person, I only set aside so much and I bang out who I need. And I'll say hello to other people, but I kind of stick to what I do. I don't mean to be mean. They all know that I'm respectful to them. I just, you know, gang up, bang out who I need, who I want, and keep it going from there. It's important also to remember your food budget. As Tim mentioned, there's nothing wrong with bringing your own food and doing your own stuff. We do that ourselves sometimes. We bring our own drinks because, you know, none of us drink alcohol. We don't want to spit going to, you know, coffee place down there to get coffee that, you know, $5-6 for a small cup of coffee when you can make it upstairs in the room. But not even that. So there's that too. But in closing, I just wanted to mention a few of these conventions on average. Oh, I think I didn't mention New York Comic Con. Sorry. So I mentioned how I deal with Monster Mania, how I dealt with New England Fan Fest. The way I deal with Comic Con is a little different because depending on what you're doing at Comic Con, to be honest with you, Comic Con is very overwhelming for someone who is new to conventions. And yes, it was my very first convention I got into. It just so happened that I was enthralled by it all. It didn't bother me. But for someone who is large spaces or a lot of people around, I don't recommend any convention really because there's going to be a lot of people there. If you're someone who can tolerate large, good amount of crowds or whatever, then maybe stick to one of the hotel, can, like the ones we're going to, like Monster Mania, Chiller Convention, they're done in hotels. But for New York Comic Con, San Diego Comic Con, these are tons of people coming from all over the world to, you know, share their fandom, whatever it is that they're showing. But also, people do the same thing in Monster Mania. I've heard of people coming from Japan to come to Monster Mania, the Godzilla guys were going to be there or something like that. Completely, you know, something that's happened. So it's not out of the ordinary for people to travel for, you know, those hotel conventions. But for the big conventions, it's even bigger. More places and more people. At a hotel convention, you know, there's usually a max. But those big convention halls, that's what they're made for. You sometimes have no room to walk around in those big conventions. I'm usually rushed around in those. I've very rarely seen table photos done at the Comic Cons. In my experience with New York Comic Con, I probably got maybe two or three. There was some table photos I got. For the most part, I got a bunch of autographs and stuff. But I want to give you guys this tip at Comic-Con. Now, it is, to me personally, I'm also a comic book collector, and I also love comic books. So that's why Comic-Con doesn't bother me, and I love comic books. And I think I encourage people to continue reading comic books. Everyone needs superheroes, and the world needs them anyway. A lot of these shows and movies and stuff like that show that people still are interested in these characters. They all started from a comic book. So keep going reading comic books is what I'm going to say there. But to go to a Comic-Con, you know, for example, for New York Comic-Con, for example, they have a number of artists and writers and so forth. They call it the writer's room or the artist's room, right? I think they call it Artist Alley is where they put all of the comic book people, right? Fun little trivia. I don't want to get myself in trouble here, but just a little money-saving tip. If you go to a New York Comic-Con or a Comic-Con that has a number of comic book authors or whatever there, for the most part, most of the artists and writers, if you bring them one of the items that you have at home, for example, I had brought in a few. I brought the first two. I brought two comics for Adolf. I brought two separate comics for a person who worked on a Batman storyline. I'm not primarily a Batman fan, but this storyline I kind of enjoyed. And I liked the guy's work in it. So what I did is had him sign the first one and the last one. And he signed that for absolutely nothing. And why is because he worked on it. I had another gentleman who worked on Deadpool sign seven different comics because he worked on those seven different comics. Get it? But guess what? Those are seven autographs plus the two from the other guy. That's nine autographs I paid nothing for. Now, to be honest, there were other people there. I didn't have a lot of their stuff with me, but I do. But if you want to save a little money, bring your comic books with you. If you, there are people there you know you like, and have them sign your autograph, sign their comics. Two things you got to remember: one, the comic is going to go down in value. Doesn't matter if the person's name's on it, depending on who it is, of course, but if your name's personalized in it, it's going to be worth absolutely nothing. But the minute they write on it, their name, it's going to already decrease in value. That's the first thing you got to know. And two is that, be respectful of the people you're doing the, you're asking these things for. Something I do is I, for like people, now what I do is for like the celebrities or the wrestlers is I'll make a little collage type of thing, I'll have them sign. For these types of art, these kind of comic book people, I'll bring the comics for them to sign, and I have tons of comics. If you have these people sign their own comics, you can get, the artist alley is huge, and that's a lot of free autographs you don't even know about because, you know, a lot of people don't pay any mind to the reason why everyone's there to begin with. And then you can go ahead and go to whatever else and get, you know, pay the, you know, whatever you want to pay for the anyone who's in the autographs, like the celebrities. As I said, my first Comic-Con, I was fortunate enough to meet Sean Astin from the Goonies, which was huge for me because he shared my name and my spelling. We had a good laugh about that. We enjoyed that. And to this day, if I ever run into him, he usually remembers that part. Because we laugh about calling ourselves the real Sean's out there in the world. But, you know, things of that nature. I met him. I met, Seth Green, the cast of Robot Chicken, Macaulay Culkin, all in the same shop, by the way. The Bella Twins, Kelly, the wrestler, these are women wrestlers. The beautiful people, I met them from my uncle. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, wrestlers, right? And then countless others, right? And I got to tell you, whenever I go to Comic-Con or any of these conventions, I save everything I can. And when I go there, I make my list of who I need. Do you know that half the time I go to Monster Mania, I save all this money for extra stuff. I remember I go there and I get autographs for the people, or I meet the celebrities or whatever, giving them the props for allowing me to share the same business to them. And then I'll go in the dealer room, I'll buy a T-shirt or two, or I'll buy some movies. I got to go see Lloyd Kaufman over at the Troma booth. Go get a bunch of Troma stuff because I think those are hysterical. Me being a movie guy, I like collecting a lot of the rarity movies that are there. And then there might be more T-shirts that I might like or some other little trinket. And then maybe my kids want to get some kind of, maybe want to get something for one of my kids. You know, maybe I'll see something anime related and a horror thing. I might want to get that for one of the kids or whatever. And I do that. And 8 out of 10 times when I, you know, budget well, I have money still when I come home. And it's because I've carefully mapped out what I'm doing. Same thing goes from the wrestling convention. When I went to the wrestling convention, I had quite a bit of money left over because I wanted to make sure not only did I have enough money for the things that I covered, but also, you know, if there was something extra I wanted, I was covered. And Tim was right about that. He mentioned earlier about how he budgets for a lot of books, And then he exposed a lot of dollars. And then he also said how there might be some other thing there that he wants to get. Well, now he has that extra money. He can do that. So these are the things. It's all about proper planning and knowing what you're doing. And he was also correct. You can save a lot of money if you go to the hotel down the street. For Monster Mania, for example, I know there's a hotel around the corner. It's like $50 a night. For three nights, that's $150. It's about $150 for a night in the room for where we are in the convention hall. Now, the reason we stay at the host at Monster Mania is because I have kids, and all honesty, sometimes the kids, you know, might get bored downstairs, they might get tired. If we're in the same hotel as the convention, at least the kids can go up to the room and take a nap, or they can take a rest. Same thing goes for any of us. We can take a break, get a breath of air, then go down again. And there's that element. Plus, it's always kind of the hotel where you can run into these people who are at the convention, the celebrities and stuff. I can't tell you how many times the kids have shared an elevator with some celebrity. My sons rode in the elevator with Kane Hodder and Peter Mayhew before. My daughters rode the elevator with, you know, other people before. And this just happens, you know. But when you stay at those other hotels, yeah, you might not have that element, but Tim's right. You do save quite a bit of money. Think about how much you're saving if it's $150 for three nights versus $150 a night. You do the math. The money you're spending, you're saving on the nights, you know, that you could put right into the convention. Me personally, I choose to stay at the hotel for convenience. And also, I don't leave once I park. So that's one of the cool things about me is once I park the car on Thursday when I go down, I don't move the car again until we leave. Because once you leave, you move your spot, and there you go. It's always important to remember to eat at these conventions, to drink, keep yourself hydrated. And also hygiene. Wear some deodorant, put cologne on, something. Take a shower each day you're going to the convention. You're going to be around a lot of people. Some of these people you might meet, your biggest hero. I want you to think about this. You're going to meet the person who means so much to you, and you're going to smell like the foot. You don't want your first impression with the hero, someone you've idolized, to be the person who doesn't want to be near you because you smell bad. Wear some deodorant, have some personal respect for yourself and others around you. Because guess what? If you can smell yourself, everyone can smell you. There's a joke about the convention smell. And I don't really understand how that could be a thing, because if you go to any of the frequently asked questions in any of these conventions, the ones we mentioned here tonight or any other ones, you know, wearing deodorant, being hygienic, giving people, you know, the respect that's the best is the best way. Anyway, folks, as you heard, I'm at the 90 seconds mark here. Hey, if you guys want to come out and want to ask me more questions about conventions or whatever else, you can hit me up on my email at wowdreammatches@gmail.com. As always, on Facebook at F4L Sean JWSW, and of course on Twitter at Sean SEAN Jazz JAZ Steven STEVENS. Thank you everyone for coming into the F4L headquarters. Thank you for Tim again, and may all your dreams come true. Until next week, everyone. Peace, everyone.